the book of Romans quite a bit. I hope there's a few things that we can all, or at least a point that I've got across, that being a Christian is not about following these rules. It's not about checking this box that I was good today. I didn't lie. I didn't steal. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. And it's more of a life-changing relationship with Christ. And how we live our lives is very, very important, and that others need to see a difference in how we live our lives. And building these relationships is really what it's all about. And Romans chapter 13, Paul talks about our relationship with our government. And there is a very big parallel to that as what we've been talking about these past few weeks. And I hope today that you'll be able to see that. But I want to start by reading an email that was actually written to my brother. And it really highlights how important this relationship building is and how we act in public, even when we don't think people are watching. It says, "Hi, we have not encountered each other face to face, but you are a friend of mine. I admittedly, I cringed at learning my new neighbor was a Christian preacher. Nearly 70 years of spiritual gastronomy has occasionally left a bitter taste of evangelism gone away. But then I met your children, and I saw my own grandchildren. Then I awakened to find my drive plowed, and then again. You gave your time and effort to me. I owed you the same. So I looked you up, and after watching some of your sermons, I take you as a friend. Thank you, friend. You walk your talk." I think that's very fitting and appropriate for what we're going to talk about today and what Paul talks about with our relationship with the state or with authorities, with the government. And Paul wrote Romans at a time when government was not looked upon very positively. Let's just say there was three rulers in particular, and Nero was the one that ended up executing Paul. But before him was Caligula and Claudius, and then Nero took over. And these were some nasty, nasty people. They, for fun, would find new ways of torturing, of executing, of just making people's lives miserable. And it ended up, in the long run, this torture, this anger, this hatred had actually been turned towards Christians. And Nero was the one that actually really set this into motion. Some things that he did was he actually killed his mother's wife for no reason. And then he set this huge fire that burned down a huge part of the city of Rome. And what he did was he blamed it on the Christians to get all the non-Christians mad at him. And so it was complete chaos in Rome. And there wasn't, the governing authority was not very, it wasn't an easy time really for Christians to live in. And Paul is writing this and he's saying, submit to these authorities. Basically saying, respect these authorities because God has put them in place. Rome is nothing like America is today. Nothing at all. Very, very peaceful in America compared to what it was going on back then. So it's going to be kind of hard for us to really grasp the weight of what Paul was telling the people back then. But nonetheless, it still really holds true today as to how we should live out our lives. And he gives us some practical steps. But Paul says, and we're going to read Romans 13 here in a minute, but Paul starts out with submit to your governing authorities, submit to the government. But then he backs it up with some reasons or some steps to do that as to why we need to do it. So the first thing we're going to look at today, the first point to today's message is to submit to the governing authorities for judgment's sake. And I'm going to read now Romans 13, 1 through 4. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except that which God has established. The authority that exists has been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment upon themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from the fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. That's some pretty big words. If you really think that Paul is talking about Nero, this guy that's trying to execute them, and Paul is telling him that this guy is actually God's servant and doing what God wants him to do. So this has got to have people's minds just going wild. So, but what we're going to look at today is why we need to submit to these authorities. And so for judgment's sake, verse 1, of course, God has established that government that's in control. For one reason or another, God has established. And God, we serve this God that is all-knowing and all-present. And we have our own little world where we think we see everything. We really think that we know it all. And we all struggle with that from time to time. And you sit in any meeting and you hear people talking and you want to give your two cents in and because you know everything, because you can see it all. And these people are just ignorant, right? Well, what we really see is just this little speck of what is going on in this entire world. And God knows it all. He can see it all and understand it. And so when we try to make judgments and we try to say, well, we're going to do this because that'll do this and that, we don't see the big picture. We don't understand it. We don't get it. But God sees the big picture. Rebelling against authority is rebelling against what God is putting into motion. And we can't always see, or we never really will understand the big picture of almost anything in life. And so if we jump down and we look at verses 3 or 4, Paul is really, for the judgment's sake. Do what is right, and there's nothing to fear. Do what is right, and there's nothing to fear. That's if you think about it, what Paul is trying to convey there, what he is saying is, if you follow the rules that the government has set in place, you don't have to worry about being judged. You don't have to worry about the government coming and saying, well, you've done this against our rules, now we're going to punish you. So it's kind of just, it's kind of a way that we can sleep at night because we haven't done anything wrong. You don't have to worry about the policeman knocking on your door and saying, hey, come with us for a few years because you did this. You don't have to worry about being judged in a secular sense. But the second point that Paul is making today is to submit to governing authorities for your conscience' sake. I'm going to read the next few verses in Romans chapter 13, 5 through 7. Therefore, it is not necessary, Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full-time governing. Give everyone what you owe. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If you owe revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Paul moves from more of a secular judgment's sake to now we're going to do what's right. Because of our insides, because of our conscience, because we know what's right and we know we need to do it. I remember, I'll get a little personal here. I remember in second grade, I was doing some assignment that the teacher wanted us to do, and apparently I wasn't following the right instructions because I don't really remember the details. But I remember getting mad crumbling up my piece of paper, and from clear across the room, throwing it to the trash can. Now, apparently that's something you're not supposed to do in school, okay? I got in a little trouble for that one. But hey, we make mistakes, right? But what really got on me was when I realized that the phone call had went home to my parents. Okay? So now, the whole rest of the day, that's just weighing on my conscience. I know I messed up. I know I'm going to get in trouble because I let my father down. And that whole time, you have to live with that inside you, that gut-wrenching twisting that you just know you messed up and your punishment is about to come. That's what Paul was telling us. That's why we obey the law. That's why we obey God's word, because we know it's right and we can sleep at night if we're following what God has for us to do, has instructed, the laws. And many people in today's society follow the laws because of fear of getting caught and the punishment that comes with that. As Christians, we need to follow these rules for a different reason. We need to follow them because God has commanded us to, and we know in our heart that's right. And that way, we can sleep in peace at night. But there is a catch in here. There is a catch. We are called to obey the laws, the government, what they have asked us or told us is right or wrong. And fortunately, in this country, most of them rules and them laws are pretty well lined up with our moral beliefs. Not all of them, but most of them. But we obey the government until it interferes with God's word. We do have a little clause in there. When it interferes with what God has taught us, what we know is right in Scripture, then we must obey God's word. Acts 5:29, and this is Peter and the apostles. And their words are, we must obey God rather than man. And there it kind of puts a little, not really a twist on it, but it gives us permission once the law goes outside. And I'm going to give you a little examples here in a minute. But we must obey God rather than man. We pay our bills for conscience sake. If we owe, we pay our taxes. We Paul says it there in verses 6 and 7. We give respect where respect is due. And we may not always agree where that money goes. That was a big thing a few years ago. You know, well, I can't pay my taxes to the government because they spend their money on things that I don't think is right. That's not our job to decide. Our job is to pay. You know, Jesus said it himself. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. The third point, submit to governing authorities for love's sake. For love's sake. Romans 13, verses 8 through 10. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of law. For love's sake is why we do this. I'm going to quote Warren Wiersbe. And one of the things he said here, in speaking to this, he says, when we practice love, there is no need for any other laws, because love covers it all. If you love, you will not commit adultery. You will not steal. You will not murder. Because true love, when you do those things, or any of the other commandments or rules, when you do those things, you're hurting someone. You're not showing love to that person. So for love's sake, Paul is saying we need to respect and follow not just the authorities, but the authority of God as well. True love, love as God intended, harms no one, hurts no one. And I don't think we'll ever fully grasp on this earth what true love, what is meant when God talks of true love. Because love has so many different parts to it. It has, you know, respecting one another, showing grace, forgiveness. But it also has a side to it that can be a little bit tricky to walk through. When you see someone, a loved one, that is doing something that they're not to be doing, and you confront them on that, that's a way to show love as well. It's a sticky area, but it is a way of love. And if we loved like God intended us to love, truthfully, if you think about it, we wouldn't need any laws in this country. Every one of us loved like God intended, sin wouldn't be here. But as long as sin is on this earth, then we have to figure out ways to walk through it. And laws are the way that God has established government to help us walk through and live in a world where there is sin. But laws can't make us love. Laws only protect us. Grace, God's grace, is what can change a heart to love. And that love should compel us to obey not just God's law, but the law that man has created as well. So the fourth point to this morning is to submit to governing authorities for Jesus' sake. And this comes out of verses 11 through 14. And do this, understanding the present time, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of sinful nature. For Jesus' sake. I love how Paul finishes here. He finishes it with things talking about drunkenness, sexual immorality, those things. And if you think about it, jealousy, there's really not laws in this country against them. So Paul was talking earlier about we follow these laws because God has ordained them. And now what do we do with these laws, with these things that are immoral but not illegal? There's no law, and maybe there should be, there's no law about being drunk unless you're maybe in public, but you are legally in this country allowed to get drunk. You're legally allowed in this country to sleep with whoever you want to, as long as they're willing. You're legally allowed to be jealous and debauchery and all these things. But Paul here is drawing a line, and he's pointing out that just because some things may be legal does not mean they're immoral and right in God's eyes. And for Jesus' sake, because we love Jesus, because we want to live a life like he's lived, then we can't submit to those things. We have to rise above. In the way we live our lives, we have to live it this way, the way Jesus has called us to do, to live. There's no laws against those things, but they are sinful. And they distance us from God. Because if you remember, if you think about it, that's what sin is. Sin is a way to keep us from being closer to God and our relationship growing close to him. And the farther we are, the more sin we have in there, the more miserable we're going to be. And we go through this world chasing things, trying to find happiness and joy, and because there's something missing. And when all along what's missing is that relationship with God. And we keep filling it with things of this earth that keep actually distancing us from God when we really need to just be pulling closer by following God's word and becoming closer to Jesus and getting sin out of our lives and putting it in the proper place where it belongs. And that's nowhere near the way we live. Jesus someday will return to this earth. That's quite clear. If you read Revelations, and there's a whole lot in there, and it can make your head spin. But the one thing it is clear, that he will return. And if we're living our lives in the way he's called us to do, if we're living different, if we're living in a way that people can recognize that there's something special about us, that they can trust us with everything in their life, that they can see that we love and that we don't live a life of sin, that we walk the talk. If that's taking place, when Jesus returns, we will be found ready. And we must be found ready. And I'm going to finish with this, that it's imperative, and I can't say this enough, that whether it's at home, the way we act, the way we treat the government, the way we follow rules, whatever it is, that where we live and that where we work and where we play, there must be something different about us because of our love for Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, as we finish up here this morning, as we sit here and we can see your beautiful sunlight shining in and warming this building, Lord, we ask that it'll shine in our hearts and warm our hearts, and so that we can live out this life that you've called us to live out, whether we fully understand it all or not, because none of us ever will. God, I pray that you'll just warm and open our hearts, that all of us can truly follow you, and that when you return, we will be found ready. And Lord, I pray that the way we live our lives, that it can lead others to finding that saving grace that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.